Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
We have some great guests coming up this hour, including the one and only Ilya Shapiro. You know, he was the guy who made a tweet, a comment about Biden's idea to appoint just a black woman to the Supreme Court. And then he wound up getting into real trouble over that tweet with Georgetown. We're going to talk about that with him a little bit later in the show. And I have one of the FEC commissioners coming on, the Federal Election Commission commissioners. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. It's a great hour, and we're very, very live, and we're hopeful and optimistic that you're enjoying the show. Hopefully you are. And if you're not, I don't know what to tell you. The show's free. What can I say? I know Mama Kearns is listening. I can't say much about Mama Zeoli, but either way, it's great to be here with you live in Washington. And I have a couple of clips I wanted to get with you that I did not get a chance to get to earlier in the show today. So there is some breaking news regarding charges against those members of Congress who, yeah, pushed federal officers in Newark, New Jersey. I'm telling you again, these people wanted to get arrested. That's what they wanted. And that is the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike Venaria. Here is CNN's Harry Enten talking about Trump's approval ratings. Now, let me just preface this by saying I don't believe his premise that Trump was ever politically dead. But hey, let's go with it. Why not? Let's go with this idea that Trump was really politically dead. And now he's risen from the ashes. Cut number one.
I think it's time for a bit of a reality check, right? We were going to late April. Donald Trump's approval rating, his net approval seemed to be falling. He seemed to be adios amigos. People were writing his political obituary. He is rising from the dead like Methuselah. Look at this. Hello, Trump's net approval rating among voters. This is the Reuters Ipsos polling. Look at this. In late April, he was 8 points underwater. But look at where he was in the most recent poll among voters. He's up 7 points to a minus 1 point net favorability rating. This is not the picture I think a lot of people were thinking that we would be painting in late April. I think a lot of people expected his approval rate to keep dropping. But at least according to Reuters Ipsos, it's in fact rising.
It's rising, baby. It's rising. Now, right now where we stand, the one big beautiful bill has been tabled until Sunday night at 10 p.m. They're going to come back and they're going to work on it again. Here is the National Economic Council director, Kevin Hassett, talking about the bill and why it's being held up right now. So let's start with cut number 30.
The thing, though, is that if you're thinking about the budget hawks, the people who are worried about the budget or deficit hawks and holding up the bill, it's just such an implausible position for them to have right now, because for one thing, the growth assumption that they're going against is about 1.8% in the long run GDP growth. And I think a more reasonable guess would be 3. If you have 3% growth instead of 1.8, then that gives you $4 trillion more in revenue, which is about the size of the bill. In addition, we're seeing now the tariff revenue is coming in at about $6 billion a week, $6 billion a week. And so you're looking at a couple to $300 billion in tariff revenue. The thing, though, is that.
Now, the other point that he was making is that we have more deals in the works here, more of these trade deals that are going to be announced very, very soon. My prediction is India. You're going to hear India announced very soon, probably next week. I'm optimistic. Modi, Prime Minister Modi, is a great friend. Look, I've said this before and I'll say it again. We cannot rely on China. No more. We can't rely on China anymore. It's got to stop. The latest story about them putting spyware into these things that run the solar panels. I mean, how many more wake-up calls do we need here? This is a very abusive relationship. How many more times do you have to catch her cheating on you before you say it's not going to work out? All right, we got to break up with China. And what we need to do, Linda Kearns' lap. You know, I should put your mic on for that. Go ahead. Did you like that? Did you like that one? Did you like that analogy?
That was a good one.
Yeah, how many times can you find your wife in the... What's that?
My mother might still be listening.
Mama Kearns, you know what I'm talking about, right? Guy walks out, his wife's in the back seat with another... How many times you got to catch your wife in the back seat with another guy until you go, you know what, this is a bad relationship?
This is what I love about
it's
you.
It's an abusive relationship.
This down to simple terms, and I think your listeners appreciate it.
If we stay with China, then we are the white guys for Harris. We are the white guy, the beta male white guys... Watch there. My favorite joke was when President Trump said, you know, all these women who are voting for me, their husbands aren't, but the guys that their wives are sleeping with are. I love that line. That was hysterical.
He speaks the truth.
We got to break up with China. India would love to do business with us, so let's do business with India. I'm all for it. But here's Kevin Hassett, cut 31.
These deals are all really ready to go. I think there's more than 20, maybe 25 deals that are really very close to ready to go. But in the end, when that happens, it's going to be decided by President Trump, because he always takes every deal and finds a way to make it better. He almost won't let a deal be done until he gets on the phone and makes it better. He did that with the UK, adding about $1 billion in exports for U.S. farmers right at the last minute. But I would expect in the next couple of weeks, you're going to see so many deals that it'll be clear to every country on Earth that we're open for business on these deals and that we're advantaging America, we're putting America first. And when you think about, like, what is it that we're actually dealing over? What we're dealing over is access for our people, for our workers, to foreign markets, so that, you know, we used to not be able to sell almost anything to a lot of the countries that we're dealing with, and now we can. They're opening up access to their markets, to our products. So, for example, in the UK, they wouldn't let our farmers sell beef into the UK. And it's a really big deal. American beef is the best, and now they're wide open. So these deals are really advantaging Americans in a way that's never been seen before.
I hope so, and I want to see the deals happen, because we need to open up these markets. It's critical that we have an even playing field. And look, I'm not a big tariff guy, but I understand the point of it's more than just tariffs. It is impediments and barriers to trade that we have to get rid of. And that is a very, very key, crucial point. Another clip I want to share with you, and this is important for all of us to think about, which is this one big, beautiful bill and making sure that we just don't give away the store here. We've got to find the spending cuts. Senator Rand Pauling is very, 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 very well with Ainsley Earhart on Fox News when he was talking about this. I get it. I want this bill to pass, and we have to make the tax cuts permanent. We have to do that. But the issue is we have to find the cuts. We can't just keep going on this trajectory of spending. We are at a point right now where we've got these moderate Republicans in blue states who keep wanting to raise the SALT deduction. I would benefit from a raise in the SALT deduction, but I don't want to be selfish here. They've come up with a $30,000 compromise. In my mind, that's still too high. But nevertheless, we got to find the cuts. Rand Paul is not wrong on this point. Cut number three.
The problem is it's asking conservatives like myself to raise the debt ceiling $5 trillion. That's historic. No one's ever raised the debt ceiling that much. It will be a record for Congress to raise the debt $5 trillion. But also it indicates that this year the deficit will be over $2 trillion, but it means they're anticipating close to $3 trillion for the next year. It's really a slap in the face at those of us who are excited about Elon Musk and Doge and all the cuts. Where are the cuts? If the cuts are real, why are we going to borrow $5 trillion? So what I proposed was this. I put forward a proposal, and we voted on it, to raise the debt ceiling for 3 months. Why? Because I think we should vote on the debt ceiling every 3 or 4 months to see if they're doing their job. If they promise us cuts in spending, not just the administration, I'm talking about congressional leaders as well. If the promises are real, I'll vote to raise it every 3 months. So I put forward that amendment. Unfortunately, I only got a handful of votes, but I think that's the way to do it. If you raise it $5 trillion for 2 years, you just put it on the back burner, but we're going to coast through that money and we're going to spend it all. And that's not what the people want. That's not what our supporters want.
I agree with him 100%. I think it's a really, really solid compromise. By the way, Linda Kearns, check this out. Will Chamberlain is now following me after I shamed him into following me on X. Literally on the show, I was like, you need to follow me. I was shaming him, and he did. He's got 385,000 followers. Look at that.
He's brilliant. It was a great interview. Deal. You know, Rich, these Congress people, obviously I borrowed money to buy my house and I borrowed money to go to school. And, you know, occasionally you put things on credit, but at some point you say, okay, I'm not taking any more credit. I'm going to spend the money that I have. Yeah. Why can't Congress adopt the same thing that Americans do, that we have to live within our means? Why can't Congress do the same thing?
Linda Kearns, I agree with you. And I think that his point is very astute, which is every 3 months we need to find cuts. Like, that's good. That's a good thing. We should want that.
Yeah, because if you keep giving them access to money, they're going to find a way to spend it. They're not going to save it.
And too many Republicans do that. You know what I mean?
I blame Republicans too. Absolutely.
And somebody made the point today here at the Republican National Lawyers Association meeting. Annual convention. This is a very, very big event. They said, when is Congress going to codify some of these executive orders? When are they going to do it? I mean, Marjorie Taylor Greene was making this point, too. Like, they've done nothing. The president is trying to rein in his own executive branch of government, which I give him great credit for. Congress is not codifying any of this stuff into law.
I say that all the time, because when the next administration comes in, they can just issue more executive orders or take these ones back. And some of the executive orders that Trump has entered with regard to election law, they were more, he can only do so much because it's the federal government. They were, I think, intended to be guidelines for the states. Like, hey, states, you guys better get your act together on these election issues. And it seems like they're not picking up the big hints he's throwing. So absolutely, Congress has to absolutely get their act together. And that's why I always say local elections are so much more important. I realize that we were all excited about the presidential last year, but we need to understand who we're electing to Congress, but we also need to understand who you're electing to mayor or commissioner, because guess what? In a couple of years, they're going to run for Congress. So those are the feeder positions. So we got to make sure that we are only electing people who are really aligned with how we want the country run, even down to something like a commissioner.
You know, I just thought, speaking of commissioner, my buddy Frank Troy was elected commissioner of Haddonfield, and I think he should run for Congress. He'd be fantastic. He'd be great. Matt DeSantis, would you like to say on the air what you just texted me?
Oh, I wanted to agree with Linda. I thought she made an excellent point, and I had some statistics to support her emphasis on federal spending being out of control.
God, can I just walk away and let you take over the rest of the 6 o'clock hour? Go ahead, give us your nerdy statistics and your nerdy facts.
So to Linda's point, in 2017, in 2017, the federal government spent $3.9 trillion with a $660 billion deficit. In 2014, the federal government spent $6.7 trillion with a $1.8 trillion deficit. So that level of spending is clearly not sustainable.
Linda?
It's not. And it has to be reined in. And we as voters, we have to send that message to the people that we elect. Matt, as usual, is absolutely right. And the fact that he could look up those statistics after running around all day, because I am sure after what I went through today, running around getting people to be on your show, I can't imagine what Matt's day's like. So, Matt, you are amazing. And Justin, you may be on my list if you're not a Matt fan. So you guys better be aware of that.
Justin, I don't know how you have to deal. I mean, this is just nauseating, isn't it? Nauseating.
It's something, I'll tell you that much for free.
Yeah. Yeah, thank God it's Friday and we're almost done with this. I mean, really.
Well, the Republican National Lawyer Association Election Law School, we have that every summer, and it's in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, Nashville.
In August, yeah.
Right here.
So it starts on Friday, but I'm going to fly into Memphis a couple days early so I can do my annual pilgrimage to Graceland. So I can call into the show and I can do a live hit from Graceland.
How many times have you been to Graceland?
Well, this will be my 11th.
11 times to Graceland?
I can't
get
enough.
Does it change that much?
It's kind of like listening to a show, Rich. I can't get enough of your show.
At least the show's different most of the time.
No, sometimes they open new rooms and stuff, and you know, I have to go and pay my respects.
I'm trying to think. August, I think we're at the Grand Hotel August 15th, so I can't come to Nashville. Oh, that's a bummer, but going to Nashville, Tennessee. So where is Graceland anyway? Is that
Memphis? How
that's Memphis,
right? It's the most visited house in the country.
I think the White House is.
Oh, well, then Elvis is second.
Yeah. How far away is Nashville from Memphis?
I already looked into it. I have to fly into Memphis and then I have to rent a car and drive to Nashville. It'll be like 3 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But hey, to go to Graceland again, it's my annual trip. I got to do it.
You're speaking at this. So what lessons from 2024 are you going to tell everybody that we got to be aware of for 2025 and 2026 and 2027 and 2028?
Well, this election law school, it's for lawyers. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what I expect of lawyers when they come to assist me. Some of these lawyers fly in and think they're going to be like arguing in court and writing briefs. And I say, no, you're going to be standing there watching ballots because that's what I need. And they may think it's not important, but it's incredibly important. Number one, because a lawyer, even if you're standing there and nothing's happening for hours, once something happens, the fact that you're there, the fact that you can react, that's why I need you there. So that's one thing that I'm going to be talking about. And I'm just going to be also just recount what I did in 2024, all of what we did to come together, both basically marrying election integrity and the get out the vote to really, you know, win Pennsylvania, because Pennsylvania is a tough nut to crack.
What's the biggest challenge going forward in terms of a court challenge that, well, okay, go ahead. What nerdy statistic do you want to give us now?
More stats to support Linda. 650,000 people visit Graceland annually. It's the second most visited private home in the U.S. after the White House.
Okay. So in your attempt to kiss up to Linda, you just made me look right because I was correct in saying the White House. So you realize how this backfired in your face, Matt.
Wait, no, right? this supported both of you.
My house is a shrine already. And every neighborhood kid is apparently visiting my house because my kids had a half day today for no reason that it doesn't make no sense. So, DeSantis, you, in trying to kiss up to Linda Kearns, you just made me look correct and Linda look wrong. You realize that, right?
Think no, that's through. Not what I... No, that's not what I did at all. She emphasized how large the Elvis Presley fan base was, even today, even though he's been gone for like several decades. I was agreeing with Linda. She was 100% correct. Lots of people go into Graceland. You also happen to be correct. You said the White House was the most visited. So you're both right. I helped both of you.
See?
I can tell you the Graceland trip is much more fun than the White House trip. I will tell you that.
Do they do an Easter egg roll at Graceland?
No, they don't.
They should. Easter egg roll. They should. You have no interest in going to the White House, do you?
You know what? I think I'm still trying to get over the 2024 campaign.
PTSD.
It was a tough year, Rich. I'm not going to. My family, my friends, they know what it was like. And the RNC, usually the Republican National Committee, usually does not want their attorneys doing media. And I think that that's a good rule because attorneys should be being attorneys. But we kind of made an exception in Pennsylvania. So I did a lot of media because part of my role was to convince the voters that the vote was safe. But I knew that if we didn't win, that everyone was going to probably blame me, because if I'm out there saying I'm making the vote safe and then we're not going to win. So I really did take a huge risk doing that. But I believe in our country. I'm so grateful that God said, you know what, when Linda is born, I'm going to have her born in America. I mean, it's the greatest gift to be an American, and I really appreciate it. So it was a tough year, and 2020 was a tough year, and 2016 was a tough year. They've all been tough elections, but I'm happy to do it because I really believe in our country.
Thank God that Mama Kearns gave birth to you. She deserves a
in America.
She's a hero. It's Mama Kearns is the reason why Trump won. All right, Ilya Shapiro, the great Ilya Shapiro, is going to be with me next. Let's talk about these colleges. is and how radical they are. Can the Trump administration rein them in? We're live at the Republican National Lawyers Association annual conference in Washington, D.C. Don't go away.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, I'm joined by one of my favorite classical liberal friends. He is a fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's the author of Supreme Disorder and Lawless. You can subscribe to his Substack. He's Ilya Shapiro. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
It's great to see you. What's on your radar these days? I mean, there's so much happening in the courts.
Well, with the publication of my latest book, Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elites, which uses my lived experience with Georgetown, which your listeners can Google, as a jumping-off point for indicting higher education and especially law schools, all of the Trump administration's actions against universities has been a big focus of mine the last couple of months. It turns out the civil rights laws are very broad, and you can indeed condition even seemingly unrelated medical research funding on complying with civil rights laws. Congress, in a bipartisan manner, overruled President Reagan's veto to that effect 40 years ago. And so, indeed, if the scientists who at Harvard or elsewhere whose funding is drying up because of these investigations have a beef, it should be with their colleagues in the humanities and social sciences who are pursuing all of these illiberal, discriminatory goals.
We talked about what happened to you a lot on my show. You were punished for your speech. You were punished for your thoughts at Georgetown. I mean, that's what happened. And could you please just tell everyone about it? I think it's very important.
Sure. 3 years ago, when Justice Breyer announced his retirement, I was commenting in my role as a Supreme Court watcher, subject to my last book, Supreme Disorder. And late that night, I was doom scrolling Twitter, not a best practice, and offered up a hot take. Again, I don't recommend this, but criticizing President Biden for hewing to his campaign promise of restricting his candidate pool by race and sex. And I didn't phrase it very well, but, you know, failure of communication late at night, what have you. Everyone jumped on me at that point, and I was fighting for my career, having just announced my move from Cato to Georgetown to head up their Center for the Constitution, which we learned is an important center because the rest of the law school is a center against the Constitution. Mm-hmm. And so it was 4 days of hell, followed by 4 days of purgatory, I guess, because the dean, no profile in courage, Bill Traynor, didn't fire me right away, nor did he say, I disagree with Ilya's point about affirmative action, but, you know, it's free speech. Instead, he punted to the DEI office at Georgetown, and I had this four-month investigation of me, at the end of which some junior associate at the big law firm they hired to help them out looked at a calendar, found I wasn't an employee when I tweeted, so wasn't even covered by the discrimination and harassment policies I was accused of violating, and so they reinstated me on a technicality. But I got this report from the Office of Institutional Diversity, Equity, and Affirmative Action that said the next time that I offended someone, I would be creating a hostile educational environment and be back in the Star Chamber, back in the Inquisition. So rather than living like that, which I couldn't do, I couldn't do the job I was hired to do, I quit. And I've been using this platform that I didn't ask for, but that I've been given to shine a light on the rot in academia ever since.
Ilya Shapiro is with me. It's great to have him. Please follow him on X at iShapiro. Good for you for doing that, man. I mean, you got four kids. That's a leap. It's a risk, but you're a super smart guy, and obviously it's working well for you. And that freedom that it gives you then to be able to do this, not bound by that, do you think that, I mean, well, I'll put it to you this way. By not being part of academia, you can criticize academia without having to worry about any of your colleagues in an institution giving you dirty looks, right?
That's exactly right. And this crisis in higher ed has really been thrust to the national fore after October 7th, after the Hamas attacks on Israel, with the disastrous testimony of university presidents that's continuing to this day. The House Education Committee is bringing up these folks that are just completely clueless. It shows the ideological bubbles that they live in. And, you know, these institutions are important. I'm not saying we'd be better off if we didn't have any of these universities or developing knowledge, but the problem is they've completely subverted their core missions of open inquiry, knowledge creation, conveying that to students, and does a real disservice to the country as a whole.
I'm, like you, a free speech absolutist, and I think the problem that I have with these colleges and universities is that they would punish you for using the wrong pronoun. They would punish you for your speech. They would require you to say things that you didn't believe. And then when it came to these protests after October 7th, then suddenly they were all about free speech. And it's like, you know, you people are so full of it.
And just to be clear, these pro-Hamas protests were not just speech.
Right.
They were blocking access to campus facilities. They were intimidating and harassing students.
Right.
Sometimes they were beating up security guards while they were taking over campus buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's the other thing. It's not a matter of, you know, all of a sudden universities seeing the light when it's, you know, depending on who's, you know, whose bread is being buttered. But they can't even distinguish between what is speech, what is action, and time, place, and manner regulations. All of these places have very good rules in place saying you can't disrupt classes, you can't, if a student organization booked a room and has a speaker, you can't shout them down. So it's not some novel problem of public policy that we just haven't theorized and need to come up with solutions. The solutions are there. What we have is a spineless cowards in charge of these places who don't want to take their own purported interests in a battle against the forces of illiberalism.
I wanted to ask you something I saw on Twitter that we talked about diversity.
And I write about this, I should say, in my latest book, Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elites.
Lawless, The Miseducation of America's Elites. And we're going to talk about that book in just a second. My friend Dana Perino made this comment yesterday on The Five. She said, companies that are determined to continue their woke activism in direct defiance of President Trump's executive order on DEI are simply rebranding DEI to belonging. We're seeing this in corporate America right now. We're seeing this in college campuses as well.
It's my understanding is in corporate America, it's less of a problem because a lot of CEOs, you know, care about the bottom line. Mm-hmm. They want to make money, and they recognize that these DEI offices are a value subtracting part of their institution. So they finally have, it's not that they've, you know, had an ideological conversion, but they finally have an excuse to get rid of them and go back to, you know, making money as they wanted. On campus, the problem is you don't have these feedback loops from the real world. And oftentimes the left hand doesn't know what the far left hand is doing. You know, these university leaders, deans, presidents, they themselves are not generally woke radicals. They're careerist bureaucrats who respond to the incentives presented to them. So we're seeing bit by bit different kinds of incentives. The costs of offending your donors or getting bad PR, things like this. So not every institution will succeed or respond properly. You know, there are, I am less pessimistic. I wouldn't go so far as to say optimistic, but I'm less pessimistic, at least about some higher ed institutions than I was when I left Georgetown 3 years ago.
Ilya, some people say that if President Trump revokes Harvard's, I guess it's tax-exempt status, that would be a retribution against the university. And you know, but I mean, other people have made the point their endowment is something like $40 billion or something.
$53 billion.
So, I mean, do these universities deserve this tax-exempt status that they have?
I mean, tax-exempt status was given so institutions in general, educational or otherwise, can pursue goals for the public interest. So have some sort of threshold. I don't know what that threshold needs to be in these days with inflation and everything. Even, you know, generously $1 billion. I mean, I don't know. But so many of these places, at least the ones that are in the news for violating people's rights and all these shenanigans, are effectively hedge funds with small educational institutions attached to them. So absolutely, they should be more responsive if they're going to behave as something other than educational, public interest-oriented actors. Then they should be treated as them.
Tell me about your new book.
Yeah, well, we've been talking about it effectively. Lawless takes that experience at Georgetown that I just described and talks about these problems with higher ed. And it was launched just a week before the Trump administration started this second term. And so I've been very pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was expecting some actions by the administration, but to go full for to actually check these grandees who just are not doing things to protect student rights, to advance their own purported missions of developing a research and conveying to the next generation in law schools, for example, a willingness and the tools for defending the rule of law on which all of American liberty, equality, prosperity rests.
How can people subscribe to your Substack?
You can go to Shapiro's Gavel, Google that. You can find a link to it on Twitter at iShapiro. But I'm out there. I'm constantly writing op-eds, and I'll be on Fox News Sunday again this weekend. So
great.
There you go.
Well, do me a favor. I follow you on X. You follow me back, and then you send me all your stuff, and we'll get you back on the show because you're terrific.
Fantastic. And I'll be in Philly, I think it's June 18th, speaking to the Republican Jewish Coalition.
We'll stop by.
There you go.
All right, we'll make it happen. Ilya Shapiro, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
As we continue here from the 24th Annual National Policy Conference and the 40th Anniversary Celebration of the RNLA, the Republican National Lawyers Association, I'm joined by the chairman, Lee Goodman. Mr. Chairman, how are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for being here and covering our 40th anniversary. We have an exciting program of conservative speakers talking about policy and the challenges facing the conservative movement and the places where, you know, we're on offense too, because we now have a aggressive administration that's making changes in the United States, and you know, we're very proud of what's being done by this president.
I saw Chairman Jim Jordan earlier today accepting a very important award. Tell us about that.
Yes, Congressman Jordan is a truth talker. You know, you have your one vote in the United States House of Representatives, but you have a big voice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny, I was thinking as he spoke, some politicians, when they speak, you just don't trust a word they say. But when Jim Jordan speaks, it's, you know, you're going to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. And it may not always be a convenient truth, but it's the truth. And I don't know of any politician who has greater credibility when he, whenever he talks, whether it's in the media or whether it's in the House of Representatives, as Jim Jordan. And so we gave him an award, the board of the Republican National Lawyers Association awarded him with the Ed Meese Award, which is our highest award, and it's for standing up for the rule of law with great courage. And he was heckled even at our event today, you probably heard. So,
and there was music that started playing.
What we think is that somebody planted a little digital device to play music in order to heckle his event. We of course, shut it off. But that's what, you know, the left is censorial in multiple ways.
Yeah.
And whether it's through formal censorial policies, whether it's culturally, trying to push certain speakers out of the Overton window, the box of what's polite speech, and also by heckling people. But Jim Jordan is courageous, and he has spoken truth to power for many years, and we wanted to recognize him for that today.
I love what he had to say, which was he was paraphrasing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. when he said that it's the bad guys who censor, never the good guys.
I think historically, you know, there are ways to win arguments, and if you have the confidence in your argument, you'll take it in a democracy or wherever, whatever, whether it's a court of law, wherever it is, you have to carry an argument. You take it to the jury, you take it to the decision makers, and you rise or fall on the merits of your argument. Those who have difficult time convincing people on the merits of their argument prefer to censor the other side. Yeah. It's an easier way to win the war of ideas, is to simply shut certain ideas out of the conversation. And ultimately, that harms all of us as individuals. You know, if I can't speak it, you can't hear it, we can't share the idea, if we can't debate it, then guess what? Eventually, you won't even be able to think it. So it's a fundamental attack on the liberty of every individual, the freedom of conscience, to form their own ideas about what they believe and think. And, yeah, the bad guys believe that the easier way to control others is to simply censor ideas and the speech that it takes to convey ideas out of the process. And so he spoke about that today, and I think it's appropriate coming from, you know, a person who has distinguished himself with his words, with his ideas, and with speaking truth to power.
I've always thought there's two things with censorship. Number one is because their systems are just not very good, and whether it's totalitarianism or socialism or whatever it is, and they know it's not very good, and they don't want people to be able to criticize it. And number two, there's a certain arrogance that's always been with progressives or people on the left, which is, we know better than you. You know, we surround ourselves with the intellectuals, we know better than you, and therefore we're going to tell you the way it is, and we can't have you contradict that. We saw that with COVID. We saw that with many things in the past several years. But, I mean, it's a long history of that, of, you know, Woodrow Wilson surrounding himself with intellectuals and academics and believing that they were smarter than everybody else. Those are the two reasons I think the left censors so much.
Well, that's one explanation. You know, one explanation is, yes, as you just articulated, they think they know better, mm-hmm. and they need to prescribe a better paradigm for the rest of us. They need to tell us how to improve our lives, and they want to enlighten us. But when it moves, the problem is, of course, that the more insidious explanation of it is, no, they want to control us. They want to tell us how to live our lives, mm-hmm. and they. So I think it's a combination that the ends justify the means. But yes, and then there's the intellectual overconfidence that they think they're right, and that the rest of us are Luddites and Neanderthals, and they need to bring us along into the enlightened age. But I think the pendulum is swinging. You know, we're
definitely
in an era now. The pendulum swings back and forth over the eras. And I think we're in an era right now where people have just had enough of that arrogance, that intellectual arrogance, to tell people how to live their lives and to change them culturally. And part of it's because their ideas, mm-hmm. you know, have just become so radical. I mean, telling us that boys are girls. Mm-hmm. I mean, at some point, you just cross a threshold of belief, and
yep.
where people can't suspend disbelief anymore. And I think the left has ended up in that spot. And I think that the election of Donald Trump was a reaction to the left telling us lies. And finally, and this has been true, you know, in Soviet Union, mm-hmm. China, at some point in their private homes and their private conversations, people know the difference between truth and lies.
Yes.
And in a democracy, at some point, the people react and they choose truth. And I think that's part of the explanation of the reelection of Donald Trump in this last election. People were tired of the lies they were being told from top to bottom, from whether or not Joe Biden had wherewithal or not, mm-hmm. To whether or not boys are girls and girls are boys.
I mean, it's so bad with Biden that you'd have to be completely ignorant to think that they should not have invoked the 25th Amendment on him when he couldn't even recognize his own national security advisor. It's unbelievable. Lee Goodman, putting on your hat as a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, I have to say, the RNLA deserves tremendous credit. I mean, from Chairman Michael Whatley, Laura Trump, to our dear friend Linda Kearns in Philadelphia. When you know, I've been on the radio a long time. Going into this election cycle, there were many people who said they're going to steal it. It's not going to be. We can't have a fair election. We had to do a long process of convincing people to trust the process so that we did not suppress turnout. And I think they did a fantastic job with that. But we still have challenges, obviously, with election integrity. Do we not?
We do, and I want to shout out to Linda because it takes stalwarts to want to engage in this esoteric field called election administration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and it's often thankless. You're often criticized. You're called names for wanting to have integrity in your elections. And yet it takes people who believe in the democratic process. And we at the RNLA are very consistent. We want to make it easier to vote. Listen, I've been involved in the democratic game, small d democratic game, for decades of my life. And I believe in the franchise. We all believe in the franchise. But you have to have the exercise of the franchise in a system of fundamental integrity, where one vote equals one vote, that they are eligible votes. You have to have a system that protects the integrity of that process. so that you not only protect the franchise, but you protect public confidence in that process. Mm-hmm. And so it takes people like Linda and organizations like the Republican National Lawyers Association to be deeply involved in the systems by which our elections are administered. In Pennsylvania, we've seen, I want to tell you, not all of the problems are cheating. It's not always election fraud that we're concerned about. Some of it is just rank, poor, incompetent election administration that disenfranchises American citizens. Luzerne County, for example, has been disenfranchising people out of just utter incompetence for several election cycles now. And so we really do need to move beyond this sort of polarized narrative that it's for those between those who want to enfranchise people versus just those who want to disenfranchise. And we have to find common ground to say we want to enfranchise everybody in a system that is both fair and which has integrity so that we protect the franchise ultimately and we protect the integrity of the election outcomes so that the public can have confidence in our elections.
Well said. Lee Goodman, thank you. It's an honor to meet you and be here today. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.